And turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 tonight. Matthew chapter 5. If you wanted to understand how electric vehicles operate, probably the best place to go to gain an understanding of that would be to go to a person that invented an electric car. I.e., you might go to Elon Musk. There is no word that is more misunderstood, I think, by us than the word love. And I think the word love has been misunderstood by people for generations. It gets all confused, even by the people that claim to be loving. And the only one that we can go to get a correct view of love is the one who is the author of love, the Creator Himself. And I've taken you to Matthew chapter 5, and I want to look at a paragraph with you this evening, beginning with verse 43. And I want to show you from that paragraph what Jesus says is the way that believers are supposed to love. You got Matthew 5, verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans or the tax collectors the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's pause a moment and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this enlightenment that you have given concerning the law. And I thank you that you show us as believers how we can love and how we are to love even our enemies. I pray that you might use this passage tonight to speak to our hearts. Lord, as individuals, touch our hearts, open our spiritual eyes, say to us what you want to say, and work your work in us. Lord, most of all, we pray for just a fresh outpouring of the Spirit's fruit of love in our own hearts, in our lives as your people, that we might love you as we ought, that we might love one another, that people would take knowledge that we are your followers, and that we would also love those that don't know you to life in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start with verse 43 because really, as we begin, Jesus points out a common misrepresentation of what the law taught about neighborly love. Really, a misrepresentation of the law. This was a popular teaching of the Pharisees and scribes. Look at it. Can you believe it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That's what they taught. In fact, that's rabbinic tradition. The Halakha, Maimonides, the great Rambam of Judaism, he said, and I quote, "He," meaning God, "accepts all Gentiles when he says his neighbor. In other words, the sage, this Jewish rabbi that is renowned and that is held high in Judaism, is teaching the Jewish people that they only need to love other Jews. That's what they're taught. That's what Jesus is correcting, this misrepresentation of law. Actually, it is in direct contradiction to what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, when he said, you are not to add to the law, and you are not to subtract from the law. They're doing both of that. They are subtracting from the law because here we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And they are not willing to do that. In fact, really, if you're self-righteous, like the Pharisees were, it's actually impossible to love others as greatly as you love yourself, because you love yourself so much, there's no room to love other people. And one of the illustrations being, remember the Pharisee in Luke 18 that goes up to the temple and prays? And there's also a tax collector there praying. And he looks around, and as he prays, he considers himself righteous and not as other men. And he thinks of others as wicked sinners and himself as good. I do this, I do that, I do other things. He sees himself as pleasing. You can't love others as yourself if you're in love with yourself, if you are self-righteous. And so in this teaching of the Pharisees that Jesus is correcting in verse 43 of Matthew 5, he's correcting their subtraction from the law to love thy neighbor as thyself. And he's also correcting the addition to the law that they put in themselves, that the law never taught, and that is, hate thine enemy. They added that. The law didn't teach that. In fact, it's a reference to Leviticus chapter 19. Actually, it says in verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And then down in the 34th verse of this same chapter, but the stranger, that's the foreigner, non-Jewish, that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So actually, the popular Pharisee teaching is totally the opposite of what the Bible taught, of what God taught. He taught that if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Proverbs 25 and verse 21. And so, on a personal level, love is to be extended to all people, including your enemies. Now, let's get to the instruction on love in the remaining verses 44 to 48. This is what God really taught. Jesus brings great clarification to this subject of love, what it is and how to do it. How are believers to love? Well, look at the range of love that we are to be committed to in verse 44. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Let's look at that range of instruction on how believers are for dealing with your personal enemies. How do you do that? Well, first of all, he says in that 44th verse, we're to love our enemies. We are to love our enemies. And by the way, that verb is in a present tense. And it also is in a command tense. It is a command to keep on loving your enemies, not stopping, but keep on loving your enemies. You know, there are different words in our English Bible that are translated love. In the original language, there's different words for love, but they're all translated L-O-V-E in our English Bible. For example, there is a contrast in John chapter 21. When Jesus is recommissioning Peter there at the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, and he takes him on a little walk after they had breakfast. By the way, sidebar, don't talk to your husband until he has a full belly. He'll be in a much better mood. He took Peter after breakfast on a little walk, and he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? I don't know if he meant more than fishing or if he meant more than these other disciples, because he bragged that they might all forsake Jesus, but he'd never do it. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he used a particular word, translated love, that means a fondness for someone, as you would be fond of a friend. And then he asks them again the second time, Peter, do you love me? And he uses that same term for friendship. Are you my friend? Do you love me? Are you fond of me as you would be a friend? Peter says, of course. Third time, he says, Peter, do you love me? But the third time, he uses a different word in the original language. It's a word that that has to do with a love that is, I don't know, deeper, I guess, different. Do you love me? And it's the word probably that we're most familiar with. It's the word agapao. And it's the word that is translated, God so loved the world. Do you love me like that? I was bothered by the fact that I, in looking at this and studying this, realized, wait a minute. Sinners love other sinners, love other people on that agapao level. For instance, he says in the 46th verse, if you love, that's that word agapao, not a friendship, but a deeper relationship. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? In other words, they love on that level. And it's also used of sinners. And in Luke chapter 6, I believe it is, and down in verse 32, listen to this. He says, this is the same, this is parallel to what we've just been looking at. He says, if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love agapao them that agapao them that love them. And I've come to realize that the difference is not that this deeper kind of love is necessarily a higher kind of love, but here's the difference I've discovered. That agapao kind of love is a love that is the preciousness that is seen in the one that you love. And the phileo, that fondness, that friendship kind of love, is a love that there is mutual pleasure that one receives because of a relationship that he has with that person. The word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, when he says we're to love our enemy, is that word agapao. In other words, Jesus is saying we must see something precious in our personal enemies, even though we may never feel a personal warmth of that phileo, that friendship, that fondness kind of love. We should see something precious in our enemies. Now, what might that be? What might it be that would cause us to love our enemies, to see something precious in them? Well, one thing that I can think of right off the bat is this is a person that God made. And he made that person in his image. And regardless of who that person is, what that person has said or done to me that is hurtful, God loves this person. He died for this one. He's not willing that this individual, my enemy, my personal enemy, perish. He wants that person to be saved. If that's all the preciousness that you can see in that enemy of yours, I think that's a great start. But the range of this love doesn't stop there. Look at what he says again in Matthew 5:44. Not only love your enemy, but bless them. We get our English word eulogy from that word bless. Have you been to a funeral and heard people giving eulogies? Maybe you have given eulogy to people. The word bless means to give a good word concerning that person. And the word curse means to pray down or to wish evil on a person. And what he's saying here in that verse, bless them which curse you, is while your enemy is praying curses down against you, you give a good word back to him. I wish God's blessing on you. I want nothing but God to bless you. Bless them. But he continues on. He says in that 44th verse, not only love, bless, but do good to them. See that? Do good to them. That means please them. Do well to them or for them. Make every effort to please them by doing something good for them. I think that's exactly what is meant when the writer of Proverbs says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Paul picks up on that in Romans chapter 12 and says we're to do the same thing. He quotes that passage. That's doing them good. That's pleasing them. Make every effort to do them good, to please them by doing something good for them. You say, I don't know. They're not hungry. They're not thirsty. Well, then ask God to show you something good that you can do for them. Because that's part of loving your enemy. Love them, see something precious in them, then, of course, bless them, do them good, but it doesn't even stop there. Look again at verse 44. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And again, it's present tense. All of these things are, keep on blessing them, keep on doing them good, keep on praying for them. Keep praying for your enemy that is despitefully using you, that is insulting you, that is mistreating you. And the word even means molesting you. And persecuting you. That is the picture of a predatory animal chasing down his prey with an intent to kill it and devour it. Keep on praying for them regardless of what they're doing, despitefully using you and persecuting you. Pray for them, all in the present tense. throughout the attack, in other words, we're to show God's love. Now, this, I understand, is not human nature. That's not our standard mode of operation. That's not the way we do things. That's not the way we think. This is totally foreign to our thinking. This turns our thinking upside down, turns our thinking on its head. But this is God's instruction about love, how believers are to love. We're to love our enemies. And this is how we're to love them. What's the reason for it? I believe the rest of the verses that I've read are really the reason for it, that you might be the children of the Heavenly Father. That God's impartial love, He lets the sun shine on the good and the evil. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He's an impartial God. And we are to love this way so that God's impartial love can be characterized in and through us, even to our enemies. To love only those who love you makes you no better than those renegade Jewish tax collectors. That's not showing God's love. That's what he says in verse 46. If you just love the people that love you, that doesn't get it. And then he says in the next verse, 47, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? The renegade Jewish tax collectors do that. To only greet, and by the way, their greeting was more than just, hey, how you doing? Have a nice day. Their greeting was to actually embrace and kiss on the cheek one another. And so this, of course, was done by not only Jewish people to other Jewish people, but also the Gentiles did the same thing. It was the same practice. And so what he's saying, to only greet those who greet you makes you, your love, no better than the pagans. That's not showing God's love. Remember, the context is love your enemies. And then he concludes in verse 48. Now make it your goal, not just to imitate the Pharisees. Remember what he said in verse 20 of this fifth chapter? I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't make it your goal to simply imitate the scribes and the Pharisees, that self-righteousness, that self-centeredness, that flesh-dependent kind of love. You love me, I love you. But show yourself as God's true children by letting God's love flow through you, by being God-dependent. That's what verse 48 means in the context. Be you perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be God-dependent. Now, let me remind you of something. You're born again? Okay. Those of us that are born again, we are told in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God himself, God's love itself, has been shed abroad in our heart. That means it has been profusely diffused throughout our whole inner man. The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in the heart of every believer. You have it already. And what he's simply saying is, then depend upon him to release that love to all, including your enemies. God's righteous display through you not only far exceeds the self-righteous Pharisee, but it personally glorifies the Lord and God can use it to even awaken and draw others to himself. I have heard of people that have persecuted believers that as a result of the believer's love of God flowing through them to their persecutors, those people that were persecuting them, their enemies, got saved. God can do that. In fact, right here in Brooklyn many years ago, right here in Brooklyn, there was a Jewish ministry that was based here. And this particular woman was a part of reaching the Jewish people through this mission, she would walk to the mission office every day from her home. It was over in the Flatbush area. And she was walking down the sidewalk to the office. And on one particular morning, she saw this Jewish Orthodox woman standing on the porch. And she knew who she was because she had witnessed to her. And when this Christian woman got near enough, the Jewish woman spit on her and hit her right in the face. And so she reached into her pocketbook and she took out her handkerchief and she wiped her face and smiled and said, God bless you, and she walked on. Well, the next morning, she wanted to take a different route and bypass that house. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to go that same route. And so she did. And as she got close enough to see, there was that woman standing on the porch, like waiting for her. And when she got there, sure enough, she did the same thing. Spit on her. She again took her handkerchief out and she wiped it, blessed her, and walked on. I don't know how long this went on, but this went on for a while. And one particular morning, when she walked by that house, she saw that lady waiting on her and she got her handkerchief ready. But when she got there, the lady came down off of the porch in tears, broke down, and hugged her and said, I don't know how you've been able to handle this all this time, but you have something that I don't, and I want to know what it is. And as a result of that, developed a relationship and was able to lead that Orthodox Jewish woman to the Lord. That is really a great illustration, I think, of what Jesus is trying to communicate in these verses. You've heard it said, Jesus said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. No, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That really shows the love of Christ in and through you. And that's what it's all about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask that you might use just the simple words of Jesus in this passage to really touch and connect with our hearts. That we would learn to depend upon you to do what we could never do. That supernatural love of our enemies, because you are at work in our life and we are submitted, we're listening to you, we're following the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We want to please you and not ourselves. We want to honor you. Lord, bring our enemies to Christ. Use us to bring even our enemies to a personal relationship with you. May we exchange our bitterness and even our hatefulness for your sweetness, for your kindness, for your love, that we might love our enemies and bless them and do them good and pray for them for Jesus' glory. Amen.